Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Well, we're going to be in the chapter, part of that chapter of Luke, chapter 4, that Richard's just read to us. We're going to be principally looking at verses 32 to 36, which I'll just read those again for you. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Or verse 31 to 36, he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Well, I think you'd agree with me. We live in an amazing world. We live in an amazing world. There's incredible things all around us. You know, I'm amazed. Almost wherever I look, I woke up this morning and I could hear the birds singing, and it's amazing how each bird's got its own individual song. You know, you can, if you're very clever, you can distinguish them, can't you? The blackbird from the blue tip, from the sparrow, and so on and so on. It amazes me. God's creation amazes me. And, you know, there's so many things, both in man and in nature, that never cease to amaze me. I'm amazed by the tide. We were near the sea this week for a few days, and how the tide ebbs and flows. You know, okay, you may all understand it, but to me, it's just amazing. You know, it's amazing how it just keeps on going, and the amazing variety of animal life and plant life. And we could be amazed by people. You know, there are some amazing things around, aren't there? You know, great art. It's incredible. Seems incredible to me that a person can look at something and reproduce it on canvas or paper or whatever his medium may be, in such a lifelike and realistic way. Completely amazes me. Amazing musicians, you know, you see people with their fingers going like lightning on the guitar or on the keyboard, and the wonderful sounds they produce. Incredible things all around us. Or we could be amazed perhaps by sportsmen and sporting achievements. You know, I'm amazed that Usain Bolt can run 100 meters in, 9 seconds or something. To me, that's incredible. Incredible sportsmen and incredible heights they reach. I'm amazed by the eloquence of great speakers sometimes. A lot of that going on at the moment, isn't there? Whatever you may think about what they're saying, you have to hand it to them. They've got great eloquence and a great way with words. The advances of science, you know, it's a technology of our day. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know what my father or grandfather would have thought. They wouldn't have believed some of the things today that we can speak to someone thousands of miles away and see them at the same time, just at the press of a button. It's absolutely incredible. There are so many amazing things in the world. Those are some of the things that amaze me. I don't know what amazes you. Perhaps you'll tell me later. But what I do know is what amazed these people in Galilee 2,000 or so years ago. It was Jesus, wasn't it? He amazed them. They were amazed at the things he did and the things he said. And Jesus is the most amazing thing in the universe. You know, there's no thing or person more amazing than the Lord Jesus Christ. And to think, we're going to think about how amazing he is this morning, but to think that we can do that justice in half an hour or whatever it may be, it's just not going to happen, is it? We can barely scratch the surface of how amazing he is. But so I just want us to concentrate on a couple of things. What it was in this passage we read that amazed the people of Galilee about Jesus. And what it was the authority of his teaching and the power of his words. We read in verse 32, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And in verse 36, they were amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." The authority of his teaching and the power of his words. I'd just like us to encourage ourselves by thinking about that for a few moments. Everywhere Jesus went, he amazed people by the things he did and the things he said. People responded differently. As we saw, if we'd read a few verses back in the chapter in Nazareth, he went and taught them and amazed them, but they drove him out. They didn't want anything to do with him. Some people rejected him. Some people welcomed him and let him transform their lives. But he amazed them all. Whether they accepted or rejected, Jesus amazed them because he is amazing. They were amazed at the authority of his teaching and the power of his words. So the authority of his teaching, let's just think about that for a moment. We read in verse 31, he went down from Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And if you look on in chapter 5, we read that the multitudes came to him. He sat down and taught them. Jesus spent a lot of his time in his ministry teaching. He was a great teacher, wasn't he? He was a teacher extraordinaire, a master teacher. Of course, he was more than just a teacher. He's Savior. He's Lord. He's God. But he was a great teacher. He's a great teacher. And here we have him teaching in the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And who was he teaching? He was teaching good religious Jewish people, not people who are unfamiliar with Scripture. They were very familiar with Scripture. They probably knew it word by word, but they didn't fully understand it. They sometimes got it wrong. They needed teaching. Although they're very familiar with God's word, they still needed teaching. Jesus taught all through his ministry. It was a great part of his ministry, teaching God's word. Often, as we read on the Sabbath day. You know, I don't know, I suppose if looking around the room this morning, you know, there's lots of people here who've been studying Scripture all their lives. Perhaps they've been in the Word of God since they were a child, I don't know. But it doesn't matter how familiar we are with God's Word. There's always something new to come out of it. We always need teaching. You know, I just thank God that in this church and many other churches like it around the country and around the world, God's word is taught faithfully every Sunday. We all need teaching, not just the new Christians. No matter how far we go on, there's always more to come out of God's word. Thank God that his word is taught week by week in faithful churches, and we need to take advantage of it, don't we? I'm preaching to the converted here. You're all here. But sometimes it'd be easy, wouldn't it, to be elsewhere. But we need to take full advantage. We need to be taught the word of God. Jesus taught, often taught them on the Sabbath, and he was an extraordinary teacher. But what amazed them about his teaching was the authority of it. Now, according to the dictionary, to speak with authority is to speak with the power to influence others, especially because of one's commanding manner or one's recognized knowledge about something. It's to speak with the power to influence others, especially because of one's commanding manner or one's recognized knowledge about something. Well, we don't really know much about Jesus' manner, how he taught. We can perhaps deduce certain things from things we know about him. You know, we don't know whether he was a shouter, although he often spoke in the open air to large crowds, so he must have had volume. Whether he shouted for effect, whether he spoke quietly and considered. We don't know about his style, whether he was in the Donald Trump style, I wouldn't have thought so, or whether he was a more considered and quiet teacher. We don't know about his manner, but you don't have to be loud to have a commanding manner, do you? I'm sure Jesus had a commanding manner, but we don't know much about the style with which he spoke. We don't know his tone of voice, or about his gestures, or about anything else. We just know some of the words which have been saved for us. But one thing we do know is about the knowledge, his knowledge of God's word. We know about that because his knowledge of God's word was unparalleled. And why was that? Well, simply because he was the word. Jesus was the word. He had a perfect, ultimate, unparalleled grasp of it. John tells us in his gospel, doesn't he? The word became flesh, John says, and dwelt among us. Jesus carried authority in his teaching because he had a perfect knowledge of his subject. It was a first-hand knowledge because he was God. He came from God. He'd been there. It's no wonder, is it, that his teaching had authority? It's no wonder that he was able to amaze people with the authority of his teaching because his knowledge of his subject was perfect. He had the utmost authority through his knowledge of the subject. You know, this word we have before us today, this is Jesus' word, isn't it? You know, he's revealed all through it. He may only be mentioned directly in the New Testament, but it's his word. Peter tells us, you know, this word never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God, who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are one. It's Jesus' word. And this word, like Jesus' word, it is Jesus' word. It carries the utmost authority because it's perfect on its subject. It's without error. Jesus' teaching carried the utmost authority. But it didn't just have authority. You know, there are many speakers around the world, and we, as I said before, we're hearing a lot of it at the moment with the election thing going on. Many speakers can speak with what is apparently a degree of authority and a big grasp of their subject, you know. But do their words carry power? You know, the difference between, I think, any politicians and Jesus, although politicians can speak and other people can speak with great eloquence and with apparent authority, Jesus, he has the power to do what he says. Jesus has the power to do what he says. His words are backed with power. You know, we have politicians telling us, try to be balanced here. On the one side, we stay in Europe, we can reform it from within. We'll reform it from within. Well, maybe. Or on the other side, if we come out of Europe, we'll have all this money, and we'll do such and such to the health service and this about immigration. Well, maybe. But they sound good, don't they? They all sound good and they all sound convincing. But do they have the power to carry out what they say? Jesus' words have utmost power, not just utmost authority, but utmost power. He is able to do exactly what is said. His words have power as well as authority. And you know, these people who speak with such authority but lack the power, you know, speaking with authority comes with great responsibility, doesn't it? Because they do have the power to influence people and change thinking. Comes with responsibility. Some people can change people's thinking to a degree. Words are powerful things. James talks to us, doesn't he, about the tongue. You know, how he compares it to a little spark that starts a great forest fire, or a little rudder in a great ship which steers the way it goes. Tongue and words, very powerful force. They can be a force for good or a force for evil, but they are powerful. The words of ordinary men can be very powerful. But the authority and power of Jesus and his words, now that's something different. That's far beyond anything else we can know or conceive. Jesus has the utmost authority and power. Matthew 28, he tells us, all authority has been given to me. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. There is no comparative authority to the authority of Jesus in his word. And as regards to power, Jesus' power is beyond anything else. You know, there's amazing power around the universe, isn't there? You know, we can think of the power of the nuclear bomb. But Jesus, he has power that man would give their lives for, power over life and death. There's no greater power than that. He had power over his own life and death. We thought about that at Easter, and he said, no one takes it. That's his life. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Jesus has power over life and death. He has ultimate power and ultimate authority. And what is his weapon? What is his weapon? What weapon does he use to carry out his great works, Jesus? Well, it's simply words. Simply words. You never see Jesus using anything other than words. The power of words spoken by Jesus, the most amazing and incredible thing. Read it again, our passage that we've been looking at. In the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Come out of him. And he had to come out. He had no alternative. Jesus spoke just those few simple words, and the spirit had to come out. The power of the word of Jesus is incredible. Unclean spirits cannot stand against Jesus. I don't know what these unclean spirits were exactly. Maybe somebody will give me an idea later on. But one thing I do know about them, one thing we're told about them, they're unclean. They're unclean. So what I know about them is that they're direct opposite to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit of God is pure and perfect and spotless and without fault. And these are unclean spirits. So they're the direct opposite to the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever they were, however they manifested themselves, they were direct opposite to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you see any of those around in the world today? People might say, this is not for today. This doesn't happen nowadays. But you know, I look around the world and I see spirits that are the total opposite to the Holy Spirit everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. They're amongst us all the time, aren't they? Everywhere. We see things that are opposed to God and his word and his will. And that can get us down as Christians. If you're trying to live a Christian life, if you're trying to follow God and live according to his will, and you see all these things around you, vastly outnumbering us, apparently overpowering us, you know, they can get you down. But they shouldn't, because they can't stand against Jesus' word. They have no power against Jesus. Jesus has ultimate power and authority. If we have Jesus on our side, and if we let him speak, we can't be hurt by the unclean spirits around us, by all these things going on in the world, totally opposite and opposed to God and his word. Does it trouble you? Does it get you down? Confront it with Jesus and his word. Jesus' word has ultimate power and ultimate authority. He has authority over the devil himself. The devil himself. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 12. We read this in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, have been cast down. That's scary. Do you know the devil is in heaven accusing us constantly? And you know, one of the things about that is that occurred to me that whatever he's accusing me of is probably true. It's probably true. So what hope have I got? How can I oppose that? How can I oppose it? Well, we read in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We can bring Jesus into it. Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Talk about Jesus. When the devil accuses you, when he gets you down, when he makes you feel unworthy, confront him with Jesus and his word. Jesus who died for us. Jesus who gave his blood for us. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Words are powerful things, so powerful. Jesus' word, ultimately powerful. And you know, these unclean spirits that Jesus spoke to, one of the saddest things about it is that I find there that they recognized him. You know, they knew exactly who Jesus was. You know, it's one thing to refuse to accept who Jesus is, isn't it, and reject him. But to know who he is, to accept who he is, the Holy One of God, as they called him, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, to realize who he is and then reject him, you know, that is to me one of the saddest things that's possible to read. They want nothing to do with him. They don't want to be changed. They're afraid he's come to destroy their way of life. And they know they're no match for him. They recognize him. You know, recognizing who Jesus is doesn't save us. It doesn't save us. It's not enough on its own, is it? We have to let him in as well. We have to welcome him. You know, we have two choices when we recognize who Jesus is. We can either hold him at arm's length and say, stay away, I don't want to be changed, Jesus. Leave me alone. Or we can say, come in, Jesus. Come and take possession of my life. Come and change me. Submit to his lordship. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Do you accept that he's the Holy One of God? Are you keeping him at arm's length? Or are you welcoming him? Are you welcoming him into your life? Are you letting him change you? He hasn't come to destroy. Jesus has come to give us life more abundantly. He's not someone to fear. He's someone to welcome. He's someone to welcome. The spirits recognized him. The unclean spirits wanted to stay unclean. Let's not stay unclean. Let's welcome Jesus and let him transform our lives. So Jesus amazed the people of Galilee with his authority and power, because all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. He's got authority over spiritual matters, physical matters. We see him later on in the chapter healing Simon's wife's mother, again with laying his hands and no doubt with words. He's got authority over our bodies. He's got authority over nature. We see him still in the storms. He's got authority and power over life and death itself. He's got authority to forgive sins. That upset people in his day, didn't it? When he said he was forgiven their sins. What right has he got to forgive sins, they said? Well, he has every right. Because when we sin, it's Jesus we're sinning against. He has every right to forgive us. And isn't it wonderful that he does when we confess our sins? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He has the authority to forgive sins. He has the authority to say that whoever believes him in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Who is Jesus to say that? He's the one who has authority over life and death itself. Jesus, you know, has the power to do exactly what he says. The difference between man who speaks with authority and Jesus. Jesus has the power to go with his words. You know, this life carries many blessings, but we have troubles too, don't we, and sadness and disappointment. We're surrounded by unclean spirits. The world is full of them. Those who are opposed to Jesus and his word and his way of life, the way that he calls us to live. And if we try to face it in our own strength, we're going to be in big trouble, because we are no match for the unclean spirits. The authority of Christ and his word, that's our weapon in this life that we live. You know, our pastor's begun a series on the armor of God in Ephesians, on our way through Ephesians chapter 6. And, you know, as we look at this spiritual armor, it reflects to me, you know, that how much time we spend defending ourselves. You know, we have a helmet and a breastplate and a belt and, you know, lots of things to cover ourselves with. And we need it, don't we? Because we are, as we read in Revelation, under constant attack, constantly being condemned. So we need a good defense. You know, many of you who know me well know that I love sport. You know, I used to play sport when I was younger, and I love to watch it now. And one thing I've learned, you know, through playing various games, whether it be soccer, you know, you need a good defense. You need to be able to keep the opposition out so that you can score more than they can. If you're batting as a cricketer, you need to be able to defend the good balls. Otherwise, you're not going to be there to score off the bad ones. You need a good defense. But it's no good trying to defend all the time. It's no good trying to defend all the time, because eventually you'll be worn down and someone will break through. I should have mentioned rugby, Ron. I'm sorry about that. But whatever game you're playing, if you try to defend all the time, you're going to be worn down. You're going to be broken down. You need to attack sometimes, you know. There needs to be a counter. The armor provides us for coverings for our head, for our chest, for our feet, a shield. But we can't survive by just defending. We do have an attacking weapon, don't we? We have an attacking weapon. What is it? We only have one, and we only need one. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, we must counter. Jesus countered the devil with God's word. We're constantly being condemned. Sometimes we condemn ourselves. We need to counter the devil with God's word. It's our attacking weapon. The authority of Christ and his word. We live in fragile bodies, don't we? Paul calls them jars of clay. And on our own, we're very vulnerable. We are vulnerable. But through Christ, who strengthens us, we can do all things. Through Jesus, who amazed these people of Galilee and still amazes, has amazed all through time and amazes us today and will amaze until the end of time and beyond. Through Jesus, we can overcome these things when the devil comes against us, putting doubts and fears in our mind. Jesus and his word are with what we must oppose him with. He can't stand against it. Are you and I amazed by Jesus? Maybe we were amazed when we were first saved. Maybe it's come a little bit dim. We just need to look again at Jesus. Be amazed by the authority of his teaching. Be amazed by the power that he can back it up with. Be amazed by his incredible love for mankind, by the grace which he shows, by giving us a way to overcome all these things. Not because of anything we've done, just because he loves us. Be amazed by his forgiveness. Be amazed by the sheer scale of it all. Do you recognize him? Do you accept that he's the Holy One of God? Have you welcomed him, or have you held him at arm's length? Let Jesus change you. He's come to help, not to destroy. He's come that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Don't say, "Let me alone," like these evil spirits. Don't be left as you are. Let Jesus change you. Gladly accept him. Accept the transformation that he will bring to your life. Because his words have authority and power, he can do exactly as he says. The difference between God and man. Jesus tells his followers, you know, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Jesus can do what he says. Jane was telling me a story, read me a story that she came across the other day about an event that happened on an aeroplane flight. This aeroplane, full as they nearly all are with people, ran into some severe turbulence. And if you've been in severe turbulence, you'll know it's pretty scary sometimes, you know. And the plane's going rattling and shaking and you're going up and down. And if you're anything like me, you're sort of white knuckles on the armrests and conversation becomes hushed and nervous little laugh here and there, and you know, everybody's scared. And so that's what it was like on this plane. They were all scared, apart from one little girl who seemed to be taking no notice at all. She was reading her book, carried on reading her book, looked totally relaxed. And when the plane landed, one of the adult passengers went to her and said, "How come you weren't frightened, you know, when all that was going on in the plane?" She said, "My daddy was a pilot. He said he was going to get me home safe." Jesus says he will, and he's got the power and the authority to do it, to back his words. Jesus is amazing. We need to trust him, don't we? I just hope and pray that we all here this morning will be among those who recognize him. And not only recognize him, but welcome him gladly into our lives. Accept his free gift of forgiveness. And let him take us safely home, because he can do it. And for those of us, you know, who are already on the journey, when the turbulence comes, no, don't worry. There's no need to fear. Jesus has promised to get us home safe. His words have power and authority. Nothing can stand against it. He can do exactly as he says. Amen.